We are grateful that we could be here tonight. And we give our gratitude to the Infinite Spirit who makes all things possible. So I now welcome your questions, knowing that the question is directed not to me, but to the one who created us. And we have the trust that Spirit will guide us in bringing the deepest meaning to those questions and the truth of them in their lives. So I welcome any of you with your questions.
I have a question. The last Wednesday, you talked about the karma and choosing the mothers and parents you choose, and specifically the mothers that we are in the rooms for 9 months, and it affects the karma. Can you elaborate a little bit more about that? Because as I remember, Jesus chose Mother Mary because of her purity. So, can you give us some more explanation of that, please?
For those of you online, the question is about choosing not just the mother, but the parents, especially the mother, and that being in her womb does affect us, and about the karmic tendencies that teaches us using Lord Jesus Christ and Mother Mary as an example, because that's the conversation we had last Wednesday. Is that?
Yes.
It is not Jesus per se that chose Mother Mary. So let's get that very clear. It is the Lord that chose Mother Mary, having known the assignment being given to Jesus. When someone like Jesus comes into the world, because they are not called, they are sent for a particular purpose. Anything that will contribute to the growth and solid foundation of that purpose is meticulously chosen. So it is for us too, because each of us come for it with a purpose for our soul to achieve. And so they look for the perfect vehicle that will allow us to carry out that purpose. Part of the purpose is healing for ourselves. Because if we're perfect, you won't be coming back. So things that we have done that are not in balance needs to be healed and brought to balance. And not just the healing, we also need to grow. So that environment, that atmosphere must also encourage us to grow. It also empowers us to understand who we are, the world we are in, the environment we are born into. So when people are afraid of karma, it's another part that we need to heal. Because karma is not about punishment, it's about balance, it's about bringing awareness so that we do not repeat the same thing we've done before. So when our mothers, especially the mothers, because mothers represent the divine, the divinity, that divine mother. And that's why they encourage us, any woman you see, see her as divine mother. And if you really think how Divine Mother is always giving, generous and kind, you know, wiping away tears, even though we're the one who caused the tears and all of that, then you find out when you behave like that, when we respond like that, we cannot judge, we cannot hold grudges, you know, even when we're clueless. Because when a mother sees, when a child sees her mother, she doesn't see her mother being thin or obese or not educated or sure or whatever adults might project. What that child sees is, that's my mother. And we all know, because we've all been there, it doesn't matter whether you claim you're adopted or not, or, well, I don't remember my interaction. If you had a mother when you were young, before you started growing up and having different opinions with her, you wanted to be with your mother. Even if the mother is not receptive, it's just what it is. There are some, they are not receptive. It's not part of them, but for whatever reason, they chose to birth that soul. Children always want to hang out with their mom. Every little thing, you look at, the mother goes one way, the child will go that way, you know. And because that love, they can feel it, the essence. And why? Because it started from the womb. If we actually do a scientific study, we find that whatever her mothers were craving that they really liked while they were pregnant, then I think most mothers turn their kids into with sweet tooth, you know, they give them that sweet tooth. And that's why they tell us our first karma is our mother. What she likes, what she doesn't like, you know. It's not that the soul does not have her own opinion, because every soul has a purpose. But that's the first teacher. In the womb, you learn. And I think science finally recognized that when the child is in the womb, the mother sings or reads to the child, they help and all of that. Well, where was the father? Yeah. It's not that fathers are not good too. It's just that the mother carries the burden of nursing that child. Sometimes the child kicks, the mom feels it. Yeah. So the mother becomes the first karma for that soul. And so, as that soul begins to grow, because the mother is very nurturing, the mother is the one who teaches the alphabet and everything, and the child can, even when they are giving birth to right away, if the mother speaks, because that soul recognizes that voice, you may see some reaction if they're able to document that. So they encourage us that the goodness of the mother, it shows with the child, the way the mother holds the child, the way the mother cares for the child. Even some of the shortcomings of the mom becomes a karma for the child, because the child might say, I don't want to be like my mom. Oh, she's too fiery when it comes to this. There should be no judgment about the shortcomings of the mother. It should be something that is teaching the child. And what should the child try to do? Have an understanding. Because when you have an understanding that if left to the mothers, whatever their weaknesses are, they don't want to be like that. But they are like that. None of us, male or female, wants to be like our shortcomings. We want to be better. We want to leave it alone. So when we understand that, that's where healing takes place. That's where the process of balancing takes place. Instead of you judging your mom, then you have that understanding. And that balance is restored. Probably the reason you chose your mom is because part of what we need to learn, even say the mother's weakness. Because the mother wants to transform that, you need to transform that to know not to put a sticker and a label or send a meme telling people, oh, that's how my mother is. So when people say, I can't stand my mother, she's so. The moment you are saying that, you need to look closely inside you, because whatever it is you are pointing at your mom, you have it. Otherwise, why would they package you to come through your mom? So she's your first karma to help you come into balance. And whatever good you see in your mom that you are celebrating, oh, that's my mom. Oh, she rocks. She's so solid. I love my mom. It's because that thing is inside of you. So you need to celebrate that. And that's where the balancing comes. Because she's our first mirror. She's that divine mirror. So we need to celebrate that. We need to honor that. Because that is God coming to you, helping you get in your act together. That's why we say the mother is your first karma. How will you learn compassion and empathy? Is it not from your mom? You can't even move your limbs. Your mom is wiping your tears, wiping your fever out, trying. Okay, have a little taste of this. I know you can. You know, rocking you to sleep. To me, one of the things that when you think about it, you need to be celebrating your mom and falling beside her and say, thank you, mom. We've known when children poop, you know, changing their diapers. You can imagine what mothers go through when those things stink to high heavens. And you see the mothers praying, Lord, don't take my child away. Whatever I need to do, because that's how Divine Mother is. Even in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of what they would call sin, the Divine Mother's grace is there. Say, I know. You are striving. I know, yeah, you have been binded by this, but my grace is enough. I will free you from this because you are my child. I will not let anything happen to you. Otherwise, none of us will even become a soul. There's no reason for God to create us anyway. God is too magnificent. He created all these things, and he lives in these things, and he brought us to share. And yeah, we kick against it. And yet, the same Lord say, okay, I know you are ignorant here, but I will help you to have an understanding. So there is more to this conversation. But we need to be appreciative and know that our mothers are the divine mirror. And I've not read anywhere that a soul jumped from heaven and just came. If you come to a woman, that's your divine mirror. You better be grateful. You better celebrate, and you better thank God that your first teacher knows how to take care of you, and they pour their love into you.
I have a question. My question is, sometimes I have a difficult time forgiving myself for something I may have done in the past. And I know, like, logically, I should forgive myself. Like, it's in the past. And I just wondered, any sort of insight or guidance spirit might have about when sometimes I'll get myself caught in thinking about something I've done, even quite some time ago, but thinking, oh, I wish I had done that differently. And I don't know, I just wondered if spirit had any sort of thoughts around that.
Well, we all understood this question. I will segue from the mother to answer that. If a mother can forgive that child, who bites her while she's trying to feed or do, you know, then it shows that we should be able. It doesn't mean the mother doesn't feel that pain. We feel the pain of errors we've committed. But the one who created us, if he can forgive us, then why shouldn't we? So you are not alone. Even the saints do have regrets. That's what people don't know. They think, oh, it's just... No, they do have regrets. And they do bring it to the Lord. Sometimes the regret is not just one-time thing. Especially if it's an issue they are struggling with. And they've done everything and they cannot. So why do you think we've heard of, whether in the Islamic faith or in the Christian faith, why some take the chains and beat themselves to get it out? Is it a way of saying, look, I'm sure before Jesus became Jesus, I'm sure there are things he did in previous incarnation that we may not know, that he had to, you know, and the divine forgives all. That's where the grace is and the mercy. They say, who feels it knows it. That's why we talk about the darkness and tragedy of ignorance. Because when we know the truth, we will choose to do the right thing. Sometimes the energy around us is so compelling that even when we know the truth, we still go and do the wrong thing. Who do you think set that energy up? Like Paramahansa Yogananda, we say, and some of the great masters, they say it would be a foolish God who doesn't know that evil exists in this world. It is part of the creation of God. But God says, I'm not in the evil, even though it's in me. I'm not in that evil when we do evil to each other. And because we're part of that God, the mother soul, the purity never leaves us, even when we do evil or we do something wrong. And it is that purity that becomes a contrast. That's why we feel that guilt. We feel, because you are pure soul. So when you go outside of your purity, yeah, it minimizes you, you become small, you feel. So if you didn't set it up, but the environment or the atmosphere is so compelling, so attractive that it pulls you to do the thing, so why should we carry the burden all by ourselves? Give it to the one who created it. But recognize your role in it. And once you do that, it's okay. Let it go. That's what the saints do. That's what I had to learn. Oh, bad boy, bad boy. What are you going to do? And that's why Christ says, let who has no sin throw the first stone. He knew no one is perfect. And that's why he never judges. He's a loving one and embraces, because he knows how he became that, to come to that heart. And he knows what he's done. Even King David, Abraham, all of them. Because they had to fight to secure their... You think they don't have regrets when they know they are killing somebody else for property? And yet they say, God loves King David, isn't it? Isn't that why God says, David, I love you as monkey love banana. No, God didn't say that. I love you so much. And I know you want to build me a house of prayer where you... But you have too much blood on your hands because you're a warrior. So I will not let you do that. But I will give it to your son. Because I love you, I will pass it on. You will still come to me. You are mine. Didn't Moses kill somebody in Egypt? And God chose him to bring us the commandments. So if God can be forgiving for all of that. And I'm sure after Moses did, and after somebody told him, oh, do you want to kill me like you killed that Egyptian? You think he didn't have regrets that, oh my God, if I didn't do that, I would not be chased out of this kingdom. So the way to forgive ourselves is to know that certain things put that compelling thing on us. Sometimes we are living the thoughts of others. When people start thinking the same way, the aggregation of that turns into a very powerful force that even those who are not thinking of, it can pull them in. And that's why I do a daily prayer. Don't let me be the filter for other people's thoughts. No, 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 no. I want my own thoughts. I'm still working on my own thoughts. I don't need that. Lord, keep them at bay. And that's the only way I can help, because if I'm trimming that. And so we bring it to the footstool of God and say, Lord, I know I've been bad to the bone. Forgive me. I don't know why I even do it. I mean, most of us know. Sometimes we do something, we don't even know why we did it. And I'm speaking from my experience. Maybe you guys are different from me. Sometimes I do things like, why did I do this? It doesn't even make sense. Something is blessing me. Spirit said, don't do it. Then I went and do it. And then he slaps me on the hand. I'm thinking, why? But then I can't carry it alone. Otherwise, I will not be able to continue life. We are born in divine freedom when God created us. And we need to live in that freedom and that total happiness. And that's why when we meditate, see, if you focus on the third eye and you go through the channels, the golden channel, see yourself in that divine freedom, in total happiness. Continue your progress until you go into it. So when we know we want that freedom and that happiness, that's what helps us to let go. If you are contrite, then you move on. And that way, then the energy, your energy is able to expand again. Whenever we do bad things, yeah, and some people, you can't blame them if they don't know what they've done is bad. That's the difference between being stupid and being foolish. Most of us are foolish. We do things against our best interest. But they say stupid doesn't even know what they are doing is wrong. So so in our foolishness, we come back and say, Lord, forgive us. And that's enough for God. But we must not remain in our stupidity, because if we don't know, we continue to do the same. And somebody say, what you did is wrong. Say, prove to me it is wrong. People tell us, when you say there is God, they say, show me, where is God? If you can't prove it, then why do you blame them? You can't blame them, can't criticize them. But if you are able to prove that, you know, the God in you is what makes you happy and want, you know, and joyful, then maybe you can inspire them and say, this person is always joyful and happy. He treats people with kindness. Then you say, well, that's the God in me. And if that's not for them, then you move on. That's why they tell us, it's not what we say, it's what we do. So we can all free ourselves from the things we've done that are not sweet to our taste bud. So I will say, think about the word of Jesus. Let anyone who has not done wrong throw the first one. If you think about that, then you know you should free yourself, because Jesus was saying that to free the woman that they were going to cast things about. And if Jesus can say that, then you know you got it made. There's no reason to bring a shrinking flowers anymore. Let's move on and let's leave it at the footstool of God. Let God worry about that and make it right. But that's what Divine Mother would want for us. Amen.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
My question was, how can we use God to grow our self-confidence and to help us not care about how other people like perceive us or what other people think about us?
We all heard that question.
Yes.
The first thing is you have to love yourself. Otherwise, you will be like the flame, the candle flame, who dances to the air and the wind that comes. You have to love yourself more than the judgment or the assessment of others. You don't have to know it all. And when you see yourself, like from the conversation with yourself, when you see yourself as God's child, created in that freedom and happiness, that you are immortal, and you can treat the others the same way, then it wouldn't matter what they say about you. Most of us have it inside of us. It's just that we need to cultivate it. If somebody says something so outrageous about you, let's say some of us don't drink alcohol. There's nothing wrong if you like to drink alcohol. Somebody accuse, say, "Oh, he's an alcoholic." And everyone that knows you know you don't drink alcohol. Will you let that even? You will just fling it away. Like, this one doesn't know what he's talking about. Seeing yourself as God's child, seeing the other person as God's child, makes a huge difference. Sometimes God uses others to talk to us, and it's for us to have the ability to listen. Because if you are doing something that, like we were talking about, stupid and foolish, that you're not even aware of that it is wrong, and God used that person to bring the light into that, we shouldn't blow it away. We should reconsider. Sometimes we're not in that position to want to accept that truth. It's okay. When you are ready, the truth will show up again. And then you will remember that person who first told you. And what I tend to do is I bless that first person who was the first carrier. I say, "Oh my God, this person told me 10 years ago. I almost fought this person. I thought they were out of their mind. Ah, God, thank you for sending that. May you bless that person. Now that I'm willing, help me to be better, to see what they see." At the same time, the same spirit will send somebody to tell you something that is not right about you, so that you can learn to stand your own ground, stand your own truth. Who feels he knows it? When you know you are not what you are being accused of, it might sting, but you get over it because you know it is totally not you. Didn't they accuse Jesus of using the power of Beelzebub? "Oh yeah, he's a demonizer. He calls himself a child of God." He's not. But did you see Jesus shrinking? No, you just know who he is. He continues to heal. You can call him the demonizer. Fine, knock yourself out. But he knows what he's doing. Even when his disciples say, "Lord, look at that one. He's not part of us. He's using your name to heal." What did Jesus tell them? "Leave that person alone. Who is not against us is for us." We should have the same attitude. You know who you are. Even when our parents say, "Oh, you can't do that," or, "You won't amount to that," something inside of you, the real parent inside of you, saying, "Don't worry." We've heard stories of celebrities who are musicians who everybody told them, "Don't quit your day job," but they made it. So, what is demanded of us is to anchor ourselves through our own prayers and meditation. "Beloved, let me know who I am. I am your child. Reveal that to me. And be my only guiding light, my only guiding voice." So that when the crooked voice comes, you will know you just won't pay the attention. Actually, didn't Jesus say, "Somebody smacks you, turn the other"? Yeah, you do that, let them go. If you only cultivate your friends, what good is it to you? Be kind to your enemies, because that kindness is like honey to bee. We disarm them. That's how do you use God to grow? That's how we do it. That's why when you see in our country here, where two opposing opinions, I mean, they are going after, they're ready to kill each other. But if we start listening to each other, at a point, we might even still not agree, but at a point you find that that person is actually human. Now, they don't deserve for you to bump their head just because they don't share your opinion. You might actually turn out to be great friends. When I was growing up, I had a boyhood friend of mine. We are totally opposite. But we enjoy each other's company, go figure. Even my own father pointed out, like, what are you? I said, oh, it's my friend. And he left it alone. Because even the one that is not like you, you can learn from. I love that he knows how to play football. He was gifted. I mean, I can play, but not this level. Although he died young, I wish he had lived. Maybe he would have been one of those stars. So the way to use God in knowing yourself, having self-confidence, is to know nobody ever created you. Not your papa, not your mama. God created you. You belong to God first before you came. So anyone saying anything differently, they have to queue after God. And if you trust that inner thing in you, that intuition, through your prayer and meditation, it will always guide you. It will always tell you the truth, even though sometimes you may not listen to it. But you don't have to cower in front of those who wants to dump on you. Because people will do it because maybe they are jealous or envious. It does happen. Or because they can't totally understand you. I still don't understand AI, but it does good things. So once you recognize that, you will be able to live in that confidence. And always remember, Spirit will always bring the support you need when you need it. Those who will let you know the goodness in you. Otherwise, we will not be talking about Jesus today. We saw the goodness in Jesus, and that's why we still talk about it. If it wasn't good, nobody would be talking about it. So like they say, be your own driver. You drive the car according to your own perfection. Don't never leave your driver's seat for anyone. As we go into the new year, may it be a great blessing to us. May our feet be firmly established in the path of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And may we live in that ever new joy that brings peace, good health, and above all, uncompromising faith in the one who created us. May we continue to live a life of abundance in the new year, prosperity, and understanding. And may the living Lord heal all of us of both physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual illness, sickness, and diseases, and restore us to wholeness. May we live in that perfection now and forever. And so it is.
So it is.
Amen.